Hey everyone, welcome back to Cannabis Insider. I'm Pato Little, and here with me, the ever amazing Abby. How are you doing, Abby?
I'm doing great. Pato, you always have these great intros for me. I'm touched. They're so sweet. But I know you are too, very excited for today's episode. We've got a powerhouse in the cannabis industry joining us, and I can't wait to jump into this conversation.
Yes, right you are, Abby. Today we're talking with Kim Rael, the co-founder and CEO of Azuca, a company that's revolutionizing the edible cannabis scene. And Kim's journeys from the tech and venture capital world to the forefront of cannabis innovation is nothing short of inspiring.
And with Women's History Month in full swing, it's a perfect time to shine a spotlight on Kim's incredible achievements and impact that she's making. So let's get started.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
Great to see you guys. I'm great.
Yeah. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. And again, thank you very much for joining us today. Savvy said, welcome back, because it's not your first time in Cannabis Insider. And it's always, of course, a pleasure having you here. So to start, could you dive into your backstory a bit for our listeners who might be tuning in for the first time or just need a little refresher? What was it that really pulled you into the cannabis industry, and how did that spark of inspiration led to the birth of Azuca?
Sure. So most of my professional background was in tech and finance. And after kind of a long journey as an investor, a venture capitalist, an operator in both startups and, you know, big Fortune 50 companies, I took a pause and really wanted to shift into the wellness sector. And I started doing some research on the wellness industry. I thought about maybe raising a fund to invest in wellness companies because I had a venture capital background. And really, cannabis, to be honest with you, wasn't immediately on my radar, but it was my passion for wellness that kind of became this series of breadcrumbs that led me into this partnership and this role. Along the way, a friend of mine introduced me to my co-founder, Ron Silver, who's a chef in New York City. And Ron had invented some very interesting formulations to solve what we called at the time the edibles problem, right? We've come a long way since then. That was 2017 when I met Ron. But Ron had set out as someone who loves cannabis and the, you know, wellness aspects of the plant and the recreational aspects, but also a chef, you know, he looked at the edibles, ingestibles category and said, you know, most of them taste bad. They're unpredictable, hard to dose, hard to predict, you know, how do you microdose, you know, precisely over time. So he set out to solve those problems, and he did. So he created formulations that solve the onset problem. So all of our formulations kick in 5 to 15 minutes, mm-hmm. and they also taste really incredibly great. So in it, he solved those problems for end consumers. Along the way, we also solved some problems for manufacturers. So we make it easier to manufacture a predictable, great tasting edible. So that was the backstory. I really kind of came in through the wellness angle. You know, I'll tell you, I was a cannabis sort of cynic. And I like to share that because I like to pull other people along in the journey of, like, you know, I'm not so sure about cannabis as an industry, as a product. And I kind of went in my own journey from like a Nancy Reagan, just say no mom, right?
Yeah.
To a skeptic, to this might be interesting, to, oh, this is really incredible, to all the way in. So I went on that journey over the course of probably about 5 or 6 months while I was doing due diligence on these formulations and the industry. And I think it's, I would love to bring other people along in that journey, right? Because I think there's still way too much both stigma and, you know, best case skepticism about the industry and the plant. So, you know, I'm out here on a mission now to pull people out of that. For me, you know, was ignorance. It was just true ignorance and brainwashing that I grew up with. So I'm here to be a, you know, soldier in the fight now.
Thanks for sharing that.
I definitely want to talk about the taboo later in the conversation, but I want to hone in on something. Like, I must say your path is, like, where you've landed now is incredible. And, you know, since we're right in the middle and the start of Women's History Month, we're turning the spotlight onto women who are, you know, shaping the cannabis industry. You are one of them. And from your vantage point, what kind of leaps forward have you seen women in this space make? What do you think, you know, still needs to be done? What moves maybe can we make to ensure that women aren't just participating, but like truly leading like yourself?
Yeah, you know, in the years I've been, I've seen a little bit of up and down in the how women are doing in the industry. And I feel like we're a little bit on an upswing. So when I first started, you know, the big hype was, is this going to be the first, you know, trillion-dollar industry that's dominated by women? And then you saw how companies were getting launched and they were, you know, I always said, follow the money, like who is getting funded to start companies? And that was starting to look a lot like the tech world that I had come out of, where, you know, 2-3% of the capital being invested in cannabis was going to women-led companies. So that was, you know, back in 2018, 2019. I think there's actually been an upsurge now. So I think about a third of cannabis companies are now led by women or have women executives. The funding, the most recent data I've seen is still pretty skewed, that, you know, most of the institutional capital behind cannabis companies, which, as you guys know, is a whole different basket of challenges for the industry, but most of that is still going to male founders and male executive teams. But it's trending up. I think it's up to, you know, over 10% now. So, you know, I like to see that trend in that direction. But, you know, there have been some real women trailblazers in the industry. You know, I always love to do a shout out to Nancy Whiteman at WANA, of course, who was one of our first and most significant partners when we launched our formulations. We've been partners with WANA since 2018, 2019, but there's some incredible women in the industry. We have now a social equity program, and our first social equity fellow is an amazing female founder in New Jersey, Martha Figaro, who has founded Buttercake. And so we're trying to do our part by supporting social equity founders and female founders in particular, by providing both our like formulation support and product support for them launching their really cool products. So those are some of the things I've seen. But, you know, Patricia Rossi at Acreage is a rock star. Laura at GTI. I mean, I could go on and on about some of the incredible women that we have the honor to work with at Azuka. So don't get me started.
I love women supporting women. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for sharing all that. And speaking about challenges, I mean, there's been quite a buzz around Azuka Settles lately, making something that kicks in fast and tastes great. Seems like you have cracked a code. Many are still scratching their heads over. Could you walk us through what kind of mountains you had to move to get that perfect balance, and what were the big obstacles, and how did you navigate them to create such a standout product?
So I think we really started in our DNA as a company with a love for the cannabis plant. And one of our core values as a company is, we call it goodness. And it's, we really try to embody bringing the goodness of the cannabis plant to consumers. So it's really in our DNA, right, to bring this plant to everyone in an approachable, effective way. So that's kind of the DNA, how we started. And then you sort of go from the why, well, you know, why are we doing this? Because we want to have cannabis products in the market that, you know, my grandmother would find friendly, right? So you put an infused syrup or sugar in your tea at bedtime. I mean, that is something that, you know, our grandmother's generation can understand and enjoy and microdose. So it's that passion to make cannabis products great, effective, predictable, delicious, approachable, helpful, right? That all of those things. So start with that as the foundation, and then you got to go solve the technical problem, right? But it's all about the why. So the technical problem, you know, most edibles are made with distillate, and distillate, you guys know, is like, I like to say it's like tree sap. So cooking with tree sap, like how do you measure, it sticks to everything. How do you measure it precisely? So we created a process that encapsulates the oil molecule, this very sticky, hard to measure, hard to deal with. in a hydrophilic or water-friendly coating at an individual molecular level. So so that when it goes into the human body, it's very easy for the body to absorb. So that's why our products work so well. Is I have a little demo here. I'll grab it. It's like one of my favorite things. Like this tennis ball as an individual THC or CBD or any oil, any active cannabinoid. What our process does is, you know, I have this nice, lovely little insulated teacup. Our process wraps that oil molecule in a hydrophilic coating. And then that goes into a beverage or a gummy or a cookie or really anything you'd like. And so when the consumer consumes that, it is absorbed very quickly in the soft tissues and it preserves this oil molecule. This is a delta 9, say a delta 9 THC molecule, right? Yeah. From cannabis or hemp. It preserves it in its delta 9 form. So in addition to the fast onset, you also get a different effect. So what we like to say is you get a smoker's high in an edible form. And how does that happen? It's because this little guy, it gets absorbed and reaches your endocannabinoid receptors while it's still in its delta 9 THC form, in that molecular form, because of this lovely little protective jacket on it. So traditional edibles, if you just consume the oil molecule, right, it is metabolized by your liver. And what your liver does is it turns this guy into something called 11-hydroxy-THC, which is a very sedative. That's what produces the traditional edibles couch lock effect, right? Where, and there is a role for that, right? There are sometimes that may be the effect that someone wants, particularly medical patients or for certain sleep situations. But that is a very different molecule than the delta 9 THC that gives you that euphoric effect that we all love from cannabis. So those are the things, that's the technical problem that we challenged, that we solved with our formulations.
I absolutely
amazing demonstration.
Yeah, I was like, I love the demonstration. Thank you. A lot of the time we focus on business, obviously, but I mean, I love the science behind it. And I know a lot of our listeners do too. Having that demonstration really, it explains what's going on in the body. So thank you for that. No. And kind of in the same thread, going back though, talking about that taboo. So, you know, with cannabis becoming more of a staple, less of a taboo, there's this whole movement towards creating products that anyone and everyone can feel comfortable kind of trying out. So what I want to know is how Azuka's like stepping up to the plate to make cannabis not just more accessible, but truly enjoyable for folks who might just be saying hello to it for the first time.
Yeah, great question. So what we do, like, as I said, we solve this, what I sometimes call the last mile for these hard to work with ingredients. And our business model is that we license the formulations to brands and manufacturers to go into their products. So for example, one of my favorite products that uses our formulations is Wana's Fast Asleep product, right? So this is a sleep product, kicks in very quickly because it has Azuka time infusion as an enabling technology. But it allows you to fall asleep very quickly. So it has CBD, CBN, CBG, and THC. Yep. So these products, I think, start to, again, this is a product that I think our grandmothers and our kids, like I have adult children, they love this product. You know, my mother loves this product. So this is something that is attractive to any generation. So, but our business model, as I said, is licensing these formulations to brands and manufacturers for that final formulation and then delivery into a consumer product. So it's very flexible. It can go into any ingestible form. So we have a formulation for chocolate. We have formulations for beverages. And then, of course, the more traditional forms, gummies, cookies, anything that you would consume.
A quick follow-up to that. We've talked about this on multiple shows before. It's just, I guess, what are you seeing be really popular right now amongst your products as far as edible cannabis? Like, what is that like one that people are like, yes, I gotta have it?
So I think right now it's definitely gummies. Gummies is still the dominant category in the segment. I see huge velocity right now in beverages, right? So where we sit in the value chain for cannabis is on the front end as brands, manufacturers are innovating new products. So what I see right now in the industry is actually a real uptick in the desire for premiumization, product innovation. So that's hitting the gummies category. I really see it finally like hitting the beverage category. I've been bullish on beverages for a long, long, long time because we're social creatures. We're programmed to have a beverage in our hand. It's a very easy delivery system. There were technical challenges in getting beverages right, which have been now overcome by some great companies like ours in the industry to make sure beverages are, you know, have shelf stability, they have predictability, predictable potency. But I think that the velocity that we're seeing in the beverage category is here to stay. And I'm very excited about it. I think it continues to normalize to your question about the taboo, right? It continues to normalize the consumption of cannabis as a, you know, alternative to alcohol, which, you know, and I, again, think about my adult children. I think they're a lot smarter than, you know, my generation was, where we were just a very boozy generation all the time. And my kids are like, not so much, you know, give me my cannabis product. And I think that's a great trend. I think there's a lot of health benefits for that. I think that much less harm to the human body or helpfulness to the human body, right, versus our habits around alcohol. So I see a lot of excitement and velocity continuing in the beverage sector.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for those insights. And yeah, I completely agree with you. It's always good to have new products that consuming them would replace products that produce more harm, basically. So yeah, alcohol is basically on the top of those lists. And staying on the innovation side, and with all that explanation, I see that Asuka is really making some waves in this. And as you were saying, with the industry always in motion, what's on the horizon for Asuka's that got you excited? Any sneak peeks or hints you can share about what we can look forward to?
Sure. So our mission is to constantly innovate around the cannabis plant. So a couple of really exciting innovations. One is we recently released a process called Whole Plant Activator. And what that process does is instead of using distillate or resin or rosin as an active ingredient, you actually use flower. And you take flower, you process it with our Whole Plant Activator, and it becomes a fast-acting, ingestible ingredient that can go directly into your gummy or a syrup for a beverage or really any application you could dream of. But what this does is it preserves the terpene and cannabinoid profile from the flower all the way through the final form without going through an extraction process. So it's really, it's kind of mind, like people are like, really? You just like take the flower and you know, can make a gummy? And I'm like, yeah, we can. And this innovation, just to give you an example of how powerful the terpene preservation is, one of the first bench scale gummies that I tested using this this process, I was shocked that it did not have pineapple flavoring added. It was literally the terpene profile of the flower that carried all the way through. So it's a way to, I think this is you know, the way we're getting to a place in cannabis ingestibles that I think will now track fine wines, right? Where you have your varietals and you can, and we've always known this in the smoking category, right? You know, you have your strains and you have different, you know, strain specific experiences. Well, we can now do that in a non-smokable form, which is incredible. So it's really kind of taking that concept of, you know, being true to the plant and delivering a true strain specific experience to the end consumer. And then for the manufacturer, eliminating the need to go through, you know, an extraction process or, you know, a press process. So it really literally is going straight from flower into edible. So that's a really cool thing that we just recently launched that enables all kinds of, I think, innovation in the category. And more importantly, I think it really enables a next level of consumer experience of the cannabis plant, right? For people who choose not to smoke. So I think that's really cool. The other thing I would hint at is later this year, we are going to be launching a version of our activator of, you know, this process, right? Mm-hmm. That we're internally calling Super Activator right now. The final name may be something else, but it actually takes the efficacy of this up an order of magnitude. So it just creates another level of onset and effectiveness for the end consumer. So, and by doing that, it creates manufacturing efficiencies, right? Because you can engineer a product, create a product where you can have the same effect with less active. So it creates a lot of flexibility for formulators and manufacturers and their product development pipeline. So that's one of the things we do is we support brands in their product development process. Mm-hmm. One way to think about what Azuka does is think of us as, if you are a cannabis brand or an MSO, you can think of us as an extension of your product R&D team, because that's essentially what we are, right? And so it gives you a lot of flexibility in how you think about new product innovation, new product development, because we'll bring our whole innovative team to partner with your team for your next product generation.
Switching gears a little bit, so a bigger picture at the moment. Mm-hmm. The cannabis landscape, and you mentioned this earlier, is like the Wild West. It's constantly evolving with new regulations, market shifts. So how does your company kind of stay agile and ahead of the curve in like kind of a, some would say, volatile environment? Kind of looking ahead, what changes in policy are needed, maybe, on your opinion? And what are you hoping to kind of see to keep pushing the industry forward?
So our DNA, our drive is to innovate, right? So, you know, I came out of a technology background where if you weren't innovating and releasing your next product at 18 months, you were going to get left behind. So that's part of our DNA as a company. So we have the creative, the chef, the innovation around the plant, but we also have the innovate or die DNA in our company. So we will continue to launch new generations of our time infusion processes, but they all essentially are built on the fundamental, which is how do you make these molecules better for the human body and better for the manufacturer to process. So that's big picture. The regulatory question is a very interesting one. I think that congressional reform and rescheduling to Schedule 3 is what I'm hoping for the regulated markets this year. I'd love to see more, but I don't see Congress taking action. But I think that the biggest game changer in the near term for the regulated cannabis industry is getting rid of 280E, because that will actually, you know, release a bunch of free cash flow back into the industry that right now is tied up in this, you know, ridiculous, unfair tax burden. So getting rid of 280E, I think, is the realistic regulatory leap for regulated cannabis that I'd like to see this year. And then we've all been watching what's going on in the hemp space, right? You know, are these products going to be allowed? When the farm bill comes up for reauthorization, will the regulatory frame that has enabled the hemp D9, you know, low THC product to be introduced into the market the way they have been? I think the jury's out on that. I early in my career, I worked as a congressional aide. So my confidence that anything rational will get done in Congress during an election year is, you know, frankly, very low. And my stance has always been, in this highly regulated industry, to never bet your business model on a regulatory change. Right? I think we have in the industry, and I think some of the financial hardships in the industry have been due to some really both large and small players making that bet and saying, well, you know, there's going to be federal legalization in 24 months, and therefore we're going to build this. And my stance has always been the opposite of that. Like, I'm going to build a business that is profitable and supports our partners in this regulatory frame, and also be ready, which we are, for the flip to a fully, you know, legalized market with interstate commerce and whatnot. But I would never bet, and I would never encourage any entrepreneur to bet their business on a regulatory change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a very valuable advice indeed. And I mean, I love hearing all your insights. We usually hear from CEOs a lot of financial or managing aspects, but you were straight to the bone also with the knowledge you have about your product and the chemistry around it. So it was really interesting. And before we wrap up, where can anyone waiting to know more about Asuka, the company story, or your products find more information?
So come to our website, which is azukatime.com. You can also connect with me directly on LinkedIn. I'm the only Kim Sanchez Rael on LinkedIn or any social media. So ping me on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn, particularly in the industry. So I would love to connect and share our innovations with anybody who's interested out there. So we're ready for business.
I think that's a great note to leave off on, yeah, Kim. So thank you so much for your time. It's been fantastic talking to you. And until next time.
Thank you
very much.
You guys.
All right. That wraps up today's episode, folks. Huge shout out to Kim Sanchez Rael for joining us and to you, our listeners, for tuning in.
Yes. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Don't forget to follow us on socials for the latest in cannabis updates and check out benzinga.com for more in-depth analysis and news and for more information on our upcoming events. You really don't want to miss it.
Exactly. That's right. We'll be back soon with more exciting stories for from the forefront of the cannabis world. And until then, as we always say, keep informed and embrace the green. Bye for now. We'll be right back.